This is KCBX, Central Coast Public Radio, here on NPR One. Underwriting support for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Nashville's Big Backyard, a nonprofit economic initiative focused on rural destinations along the fabled Natchez National Parkway.
I'm correspondent Tom Wilmer, reporting from the Commemorative Air Force of Central Texas Wing Museum based at the San Marcos Airport. Come along and join me for a conversation with Joe Ensminger, wing leader, followed by retired naval pilot Clint Epley, who serves as executive officer and museum curator.
The mission of the organization, really from its founding, has always been about honoring the service of our World War II veterans and making sure the history of what the airplanes that they used to win World War II is preserved, so the lessons were carried forward. That's what the organization's mission has always been.
Briefly about you and your background with aviation. How did it start for you?
My first word, I'm told, was airplane. I've always loved airplanes, really since I can remember. It was headed to the military. That's what I wanted to do. I wanted to be a fighter pilot, astronaut like everybody. I got my heart broken really in 7th or 8th grade when my eyesight started to go bad. And nowadays, that wouldn't be such a problem, but it was when I was growing up. So I changed direction when I was 16. I started taking flying lessons, got my pilot's license when I was 17. Basically flown civilian ever since then. So I've been flying a little over 30 years.
In commercial?
I had one brief job flying commercially, but everything I've done is private. When I was 28 or 29, I was lucky enough to be able to buy an airplane of my own. So I bought a T-34, which is kind of an entry-level warbird, and I brought it here. Didn't really know anybody, wasn't really connected to warbird flying, didn't know anything about the Commemorative Air Force.
You just liked the aircraft?
I just liked the airplane. I'd always wanted one. And so one day I was out flying around, and I knew about this group and this hangar, and you know, but didn't really know much what they did. And I parked my airplane one day, and an old guy, I mean, he was probably 78, comes driving up in his truck really fast and screeches to a stop, and I thought, oh my gosh, what have I done? You know, I've made somebody mad. And he says, is that your airplane? And I said, yes, sir. And he said, do you know how to fly formation? And I said, no. He goes, you want to learn? I was like, yeah, sure. And so that's how I got involved with this group. And so that was in 2002 or 3. Funny aside, that man, his name was Bill Powers. Bill was he was in the Navy in World War II and then joined the Air Force, flew in Korea and Vietnam. And he and I became great friends, and my youngest son is named after him. That's how that friendship started. You know, I've been involved with this organization for a little under 20 years. Over the last 4, I've led this particular group.
And you still have your trainer?
I do.
Yeah
I do.
Is that your primary?
Yeah, that's what got me into flying these airplanes, and I've been lucky enough to fly a couple of the other ones in here, this one and as well as a C-47.
What's your favorite aircraft of the warbirds to fly?
The one I'm flying.
Yeah. No bias?
Well, they're all, I mean, I love them all. I mean, yeah. It really is that flying, I fly my T-34, the T-6, and the C-47. I love them all for different reasons. The C-47, this particular one, it has a tremendous history, and so it's an honor to fly it. Mm-hmm. So when you get to fly it, it's a pretty special thing in and of itself.
This is the most historic C-47 DC-3 I've ever met.
It's certainly, we like to say it's the most historic aircraft still flying. So this airplane on D-Day in 1944 was the first of 800. The way that mission worked, they sent over Pathfinders, which were about 30 airplanes. That was the first group. They marked the drop zones, and then behind them came 800 others. And of those 800, this was the lead airplane. This particular airplane, you know, if you get into the sort of historical accuracy significance, when it was coming up and discovered, it got labeled as the C-47 that led D-Day. Mm-hmm. Well, there was no C-47 that led D-Day. I mean, but this airplane of the 800 that went over, the first group, the lead group, this was the lead airplane. And unfortunately, the Pathfinder airplane that was flown over, it was lost. So what we tell people is, you know, there are a lot of really historic airplanes sitting in the Smithsonian, you know, sitting in museums around the world, but of flying airplanes, of one that are flying, this one's probably the most historically significant one you can get in and go fly
right.
in.
And I've been around like C-47s that were from the World War II era, but some of them came off the production line, so they never went overseas.
That's right.
And a couple of B-17s, same thing.
Yeah, so in fact, most of the airplanes that are flying today, very few of them, well, I wouldn't say that, but a lot of them, their history doesn't include wartime service. Yeah. But the mission of those airplanes is to make sure that, you know, we remember what happened in World War II. And yeah. So even though they may not have had a wartime record, they're still very important.
So give us an overview. I know you have duties to attend to with the family pretty quick. The aircraft that you have here that's part of your permanent collection.
So we have seven airplanes here that are assigned to this unit. The way the CAF works, CAF has about 180 airplanes, and they assign them to different units around the country. Obviously, we have the C-47, that's all brother, which we just talked about. The other airplane we have back in the corner is a B-25 called the Yellow Rose. And the B-25, what it's most famous for is the Doolittle Raid. Mm-hmm. And so, in fact, a number of our early members were Doolittle Raiders. Hank Potter and Colonel Richard Cole were both Doolittle Raiders. Richard Cole was Doolittle's co-pilot. He just passed away a couple years ago. And, in fact, on Tuesday, we're going to fly these airplanes in honor of him. So that's a pretty historic story that we get to tell with that airplane. We have a T-6 Texan, which is the pilot maker. That's the airplane that just about every World War II fighter pilot would have flown before they moved on to their airplane. Mm-hmm. We have a BT-13, which was also an early trainer in World War II. And then we have one of three flying P-39s. So the P-39 is a single-engine airplane primarily used in the Pacific and used by Russia, but there's only three of them left in the world. And for a while, ours was the only flying example.
Wow, that's so cool. So all these are airworthy.
All these are airworthy. So our mission is to keep them flying. We're a flying museum. We also have a C-45, which is an example of an airplane that was used as an executive transport and also as a navigation trainer in World War II. Yeah.
That's airworthy, too?
It's not right this second.
But
we're putting a new engine on
it. Okay.
Yeah.
In process.
Yeah. And then we also have, as a guest airplane, this T-28, which is the one you see right here. That's not one we operate. That's one of our member-owned airplanes. And then finally, over in the corner, we have a U-3, which is a Cessna 310. But it was used by the Air Force to chase the U-2. And so, you know, that's how it...
Is that an A-4 nose airplane?
Yeah, so that's an A-4. So we have a couple of cockpits that we use that covers our inventory.
So you're missing a P-51.
Well,
any hopes of getting one here?
Oh, there's always hope. We'd love to, obviously, as a pilot, that would be a real fun airplane to fly.
Yeah.
But the flip side of it is we are very lucky here. We have some tremendously cool airplanes to fly. From a pilot's perspective, this is heaven. It takes a lot of work and effort to keep them all flying. Obviously, finding members and getting people involved is a big part of what we do. And then as these airplanes age, you know, it becomes harder and harder to find people that are qualified to maintain them and qualified to fly them. And so that's part of what makes our mission important.
Talk about your public-facing mission. Do you have open houses here at the hangar where people come to the hangar?
Yeah. So we do a couple of things. So the hangar is open 4 days a week where the public can come in and visit the museum. Walk around. We have a tremendously interesting museum just on its own right that doesn't involve the airplanes. But we're open Monday, Wednesday, Fridays, and Saturdays. The other thing we do is we have events throughout the year. So we have a dinner dance where we host a 40s themed swing dance we bring people out to. That happens in November. We have a golf tournament that we run. We have other events throughout the year that are here. And then the other thing we do that's a big part of our mission is we actually take these airplanes on the road.
Right.
So we go to air shows around the country, and then we do tours with the airplanes where we'll tour around the country. And the goal is to expose the airplane to people, get them the opportunity to experience, so to fly on it, ride in it, you know, and really kind of get the real feeling of what it might have been like. The C-47 in particular, you know, what might it have been like to get on the airplane and, you know, and fly at night and then jump out of it into the darkness over France. You can talk about it all day long, but when you stand in the airplane and you hear the engines fire up and you put yourself in that spot for a second, it can be a pretty powerful experience.
Do you have ride days here where people come to this airport and fly around town?
We do. So our single-engine airplanes, we fly them pretty much every weekend for rides.
Mm-hmm.
The crewed airplanes are a little harder for us to get together. And one, we have to have a big group to fly them, but throughout the year we'll have ride days here. Mm-hmm. Our next one here is October 1st through 3rd. If you're interested in flying on the airplane, tour.thatsallbrother.org is a great place to start. That'll tell you where we're going to be and kind of what's coming up for the next few months.
And that was the acronym for this C-47, right? It was painted on the nose.
That's right. That's all brother.
Game over.
That's right.
Yeah. Very cool. And the aircraft right behind you again?
the T-28. The T-28 was used by the Navy as a trainer. You know, generation of Navy pilots would have flown that airplane.
But that would have been post-World War II.
Post-World War II, yeah. That's right.
And that's really cool. It's awesome you have a B-25, too.
Yeah.
It'd be cool to have a B-24, too.
The CAF has a B-24. Mm-hmm. In fact, it will be here on October 1st through 3rd is the plan. So, and they're not a lot of flying. I think there are two flying B-24s right now. There mm-hmm. may be one or two others, but very rare airplane.
How many airworthy B-17s remain, roughly?
Part of the challenge with it is these airplanes are getting older. And what's happening now, the World War II generation, the men that flew them and the women that built them and the people that operated them, we're losing them. And, you know, really in 10 years, there won't be any of them left. So it's really important that we capture their stories and capture their lessons and that we make sure we're doing what we do to make sure that what they did isn't forgotten.
Very cool. Well, I should let you get home to your duties.
I appreciate it, but I can talk about this stuff forever.
Oh, so you and me both. Yeah, you know, live it, eat it, breathe it. Yeah. If somebody wanted to learn more about your world down here,
a great place to start to learn more about our organization is our website, which is centraltexaswing.org. And if you want to learn about our national organization, it's commemorativeairforce.org. That's a great place to start. And my name is Joe Ensminger.
And you're like wing commander?
I'm the wing leader. No, we don't have commanders here. It's an inverted pyramid. I'm on the bottom and everybody else tells me what to do. But I'm the wing leader. We're all volunteers. No one is paid. We're all here because we love the mission. We think it's important.
Awesome. Joe, thanks for sharing.
Thank you. Thanks for coming out and doing this.
My name is Clint Epley. I was a commander in the U.S. Navy for 26 years. Retired, went to Canyon Lake to live. A few years later, one of my shipmates that I was at a reunion with mentioned that he was a member over here and I should come out and take a look. So in 99, I did. Came over here, and the same day I came over, I joined and spent the next 22 years, and I'm still here.
Navy, were you airborne?
I flew a large airplane. Was never on a ship, except for six landings in training.
What did you fly?
I flew an EP-3, just an electronic version of the P-3 aircraft. The EP-3 had a crew of 31s. To keep it simple, it's a spy plane. I told people for years it wasn't, and then they said, go look up the word spy. Yeah, it was.
So you were pilot?
I was pilot, and proud of it. When they took the keys away, I left.
Do you get to fly some of the historic aircraft here?
I've flown a number of the aircraft, a lot of them that aren't here anymore.
What's your favorite?
The one I got for us was the U-3A, the little blue and white one over there. So I was the only sponsor for years on that airplane. It's a nice airplane, smooth, easy flying. It's a 1958 model, though. Not exactly an antique. Still pretty old.
Getting there, yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely getting there. But I flew the T-6, which is the one behind you, the Texan.
That's a classic World War II trainer.
Right? It is a World War II advanced trainer. Yeah. It is the advanced trainer for World War II. And I've flown the B-25. We used to have a Kate replica, which was a T-6 version. Plane that was made for Tora Tora, the movie. I flew a lot of the CJ-6, which is a Russian made in China. And I trained up the formation, got my formation quals in that. Flew it occasionally in formation, but mostly I flew the U-3 over here in formation flights with the wing.
Right now, we're in a World War II airplane hangar, part of the Army Air Corps, right?
That is correct. Started in 1942 and completed in 43. And the airplane that was hangared in this hangar during World War II is the C-45, which you can see behind us.
Oh, interesting. And that was a navigating
called trainer? Called an AT-7. And it was a navigation trainer version of a C-45.
That was the primary mission of this airbase.
Uh-huh. Yes, it was a navigation training school. They were training not only navigators, they were training people, maintenance people as well. And they also had some light aircraft that actually they were training glider pilots in called L-4s, the Grasshopper, the small Piper Cubs. Yeah. And they actually trained the glider pilots in those.
How interesting.
And they had a lot of different airplanes here at different times. Mm-hmm. The main one was the C-45.
And there was a base in Austin and then Waco.
There were a lot of bases out here. Pecos. There were a number. They had a bombardier version of that same airplane. It had a glass nose on it. It was called an AT-11. They had three schools for that. They had three schools for navigators, all in Texas. And then they also had some of the planes that they cut a hole in the top, put a machine gun in it, a turret, And so they had a navigator, a turret operator, and a bombardier, and two pilots. So you could do crew coordination. It's really vital if you got a large crew to learn discipline, mostly on the radios.
Do you have your own aircraft?
I do not. I've got 10 Rivieras and 4 other cars. I don't need another expensive hobby.
And this is a wood truss hangar.
It is, made out of redwood, but the top is all redwood. So it's termite resistant. Unfortunately, the walls down below are not, so we've had some issues there. And I expect Joe mentioned that the hangar was a World War II hangar, and we've done a lot of work on this hangar. For the first 20 years we had this hangar, we did no improvements because the airport manager wanted to tear the hangar down.
Oh, wow.
And he wanted to get us out of it. But we had some friends on the airport commission that kept it going so that we didn't lose the hangar itself. After he left, the city found out about us. And for a long time, this was a college and is a college town. Everything's about the college. We didn't exist. First time I went to the visitor center, they didn't even know we had an airport.
Wow.
So, let alone that we were out here. And I see on TripAdvisor, we're now the number one attraction in San Marcos.
That's so cool.
So, we're pretty proud of that right now.
Have you found a way to loop in the university?
That's been hard. We've tried our best. We've had people out here, but we do have trouble getting hooked into it. And the newspaper is the same way. We've tried to get them to come out for special events to take pictures. If they do take them, they never show up.
Interesting.
It's interesting how things have changed. We are now a historic landmark, a city historic landmark. And this is the last building, occupiable building, that's still here from World War II. The tower that's up here, you probably saw it coming in.
Yeah, the skeleton one?
The old tower. That's still here from World War II.
Really?
And the only other building is the water tower. Everything else is gone.
So the old tower, is there restoration,
no,
maintenance?
No, there's no plans.
Really?
They did rust-oleum it.
I see
so that it won't rust away.
Well, that's good.
But you can't go up there. There's no floor.
But somebody's keeping an eye on the structure.
They are, yeah. So it's not coming down anytime soon. And they made us a city historic landmark, and all that means is that they can't tear it down without telling us. They're not going to do that. We've definitely got some friends up there now. So when that happened, we started making a lot of improvements. Mm-hmm. The city helped us out with that as well.
Well, it would seem to me that we have Veterans Day coming up before too long.
Correct.
To do some events keyed in Memorial Day, Veterans Day, and whatnot.
We do. We do that. We do a lot of flyovers for both of those days. And Veterans Day is no exception. We usually have 3 days that are basically dedicated to doing flyovers in different sites.
And how about doing an open house here or inviting the community to come out on those days?
Yeah, we do have those days. Veterans Day is not one of them, although this year we're looking at doing a hops and props event, which is just a local breweries, and there are a lot of them around here.
Yeah.
And wineries, if we can get them, to come out, and we'll do it outside on the ramp and inside as well. But we have to keep it empty inside for most of the day because we're going to be setting up for the dinner dance that happens that night. And that's our big fundraiser for the year.
And then you alluded to the Highlands Lake Squadron, right?
They used to be a part of this wing.
Right.
In the old days, wings had units underneath them, squadrons that operated under them. Highland Lakes is one of them.
They had a C-47.
That crashed.
That crashed, yeah, and it's gone, right? It burned
up? It's gone, but they have another one now.
Oh, they do?
They just got a new.
Okay.
They got a different one. Yeah, the one that they crashed is gone. It burned up.
That was sad. Right on takeoff, huh?
It was, yeah. Pretty sad event. Crew coordination training, that's what they need. We went back to do a lot of crew coordination training. That's what needed.
Interesting.
Yeah, we're flying really old airplanes, and you got to be careful how you do them. Treat them nicely, because they're 75 years old.
So, anything you want to add?
Certainly, come out and see us.
Thanks for sharing. If somebody wanted to learn more, where would you direct them?
To get more information on what we have here and the airplanes that we have here, I would contact the Central Texas Wing.org. Central Texas Wing, all one word, .org. And my name is Commander Clint Epley. I am now the museum curator. I've been the wing leader. I've been operations. I've been the XO. I've been all over in the last 22 years. And I'm the dinner dance coordinator for the last 20. And I'm ready to give it up. Anybody would like to join us, come on out, and we'll turn you into a dinner dance coordinator.
Love it. Thanks, Clint.
Underwriting support for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Nashville's Big Backyard, a nonprofit economic initiative focused on rural destinations along the fabled Natchez National Parkway. With a focus on rural communities such as Leaper's Fork, not far from Nashville, the Big Backyard journey traverses through Tennessee's southwest quarter down into Alabama's legendary Shoals region, the mothership of American music. The featured rural community's common thread is historic architecture and a timeless, charming small-town atmosphere, some with a river running through it. The diverse attractions of the featured communities include the amazing Elephant Sanctuary in Hohenwald, where retired circus elephants come to retire in peace, and iconic destinations like Northern Alabama's Shoals region, where you'll find one of America's most iconic Frank Lloyd Wright homes and two of America's legendary recording studios that have been etching American soundtracks since the early 1960s. For example, Muscle Shoals Sound Studios in Sheffield, Alabama, opened in 1969, instantly started marking up the charts with number one hits by recording artists like the Rolling Stones, Willie Nelson, Wilson Pickett, Linda Ronstadt, Rod Stewart, and Paul Simon. Nashville's Big Backyard's ardent promoters include Mike Wolf, host of History Channel's American Pickers TV series, who provides a surgical contextual lens focused on Nashville's Big Backyard's diverse initiatives, and Liz McLaurin, president of the Land Trust for Tennessee, an equally passionate supporter of Nashville's Big Backyard's greater good elements through the Land Trust Preservation Initiatives. To learn more about the program, log on to nashvillesbigbackyard.org.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world.
My name is Roseanne Cash. I listen to WNYC in New York. In fact, NPR is all I listen to. And if I didn't have NPR, I would feel like my lifeline to the world has been cut. So, yes, please support your local NPR station.